I'm sure many of us know someone, if not you, who's felt uncomfortable talking about religion and money or just have feelings of shame or guilt about it. Welcome to Yahweh's Money, a podcast where we discuss the crossroads or intersections of religion and money. We're going to go deep into topics like tithing and saving and debt and so much more from the religious view. I'm your host, Shay Cook, CEO and founder of Crusaders for Change, LLC, and our co-host is Vanessa McNally, one of our financial counselor coach educators. Let's talk about God and money. Hey there, money maestros. In our eyes, money is a very big and important thing, but to God, it's only a small thing. It's what we do with this small thing called money that really counts. Today, Vanessa and I will be discussing financial literacy or education through the eyes of the Bible. God is, after all, the true owner of our money. We're just stewards, people. So let's talk about how we can honor him with our finances. Hey, Vanessa, how are you today?
Hey, Shay, I am good. This is a big topic and a heavy one, I think, about. So we got a lot to talk about.
Oh, we do. Well, let's start with this scripture, Psalm 24:1. It's quick to tell us that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, and the world and all its people belong to him. So it's saying that it's because we're just stewards, or as they can say, caretakers. We should be committed to the proper management of this world and its resources. And some of us don't do a good job of that.
No, we don't. Not at all. Yeah. And I think it's because we depend too much on that money, and we depend on things other than God. And when we do that and we put that ahead of him, we need to learn to depend on God instead of money.
Yeah, not idolize money. A lot of people, It's an idol. Whatever you put before God is an idol. Money, sex, shopping, whatever. People, idolizing. Mm-hmm. You're idolizing that instead of putting God first. Yeah.
So how do we do that? How do we put God above the money? I mean, one thing we can do is we can pray. You know, we pray to him for what we need and what we want.
Yes, yes,
and
yes.
That's a huge thing. I know I was at my grandpa's house this weekend, and he had a book that he gave to me, and it's called Pray Big Things.
Show the book.
Yeah. Pray Big Things. Yes, yes,
yay!
Yes.
So Pray he Big got Things. This book. I love that.
Yeah, Pray Big Things. So he had this book, and he had a kid's version too.
Oh.
So, so he gave that to my aunt to read to her grandkids.
Nice.
But it's one of those things, I think we feel like sometimes we just need to pray for just enough, you know, that we're asking for too much. But it's okay to pray big things and ask for big things, because out of those big things, who knows what can come of that? You know, and if we don't ask for it and we don't pray for it, we don't, you know, seek his guidance with things, it's never going to happen. It is never going to happen.
Stop putting limitations on God, people. I mean, come on. He's huge. He's omnipotent. Mm-hmm. Like this is, he's all knowing. He's everything, like everything. Why do we, I love that. Pray big things. Stop putting limitations on God. Pray for your needs. Pray for your wants. Pray for your dreams. Pray for your family. Pray for the earth. Pray for the universe. God is here. Even though it's, he's all got it planned already. But he's listening. He already knows. Yeah. He already knows.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
And if we don't do those things and we don't pray for it and ask for it, I mean, just imagine how small our lives would be. You know, and big things can be very rewarding to us. You know, it's not like we're going to have to go to South America for a mission for 10 years, unless that's something you really feel like you're called to do. But big things can be done at home, and big things can be done in small places. Mm-hmm. So, and then while we're doing that, why don't we ask for wisdom? Let's talk to God about our money. I think that's something a lot of us don't do. I know one thing that I'm really big on is in relationships, have money dates. Mm-hmm. So you sit down and you talk about your money. You talk about, you know, your needs and what's coming up and some things you may have to pay for in the next little bit. Why don't we do that with God? Have those chats.
Amen. We need to do it, everybody. ourselves, when God, ourselves, our spouses and you know, partners, our kids, our friends and extended family. Like, exactly. We need to make talking about money sexy. Get rid of the stigma, because right. Money flows through everything. I don't know how many times we got to say that. Mm-hmm. And so going to God and saying, Lord, I have money. How do I spend it? Lord, I don't have money. Where do I go to get more? Lord, I want to buy this, but I don't know. You know, yeah. Just tell him. And it doesn't have to be in Bible talk. It doesn't have to be Lord. And, you know, just be like, man, I ain't got no money. How am I going to do this? Lord, I'm talking to you, bro. Like, you know, I don't know. Just you talk in whatever language or vernacular that you talk in. Cause everybody feels like, well, I don't know how to talk to God. Just talk to him like you talk to your friends. Like, Lord, exactly. I need to pay this bill today. What am I going to do?
But, you know, I think with all that too, you know, when we're asking for the wisdom, we have to have our ears open to hear the answers.
Listen.
And it may not be the answer we want. That's the other part about this.
Vanessa.
Mm-hmm. It may not be the answer we want, but it's definitely going to be the answer we need. We will hear those things, and we have to like know that it's okay to not get what we want with things sometimes, because a lot of times there is a bigger picture, and we are going to see later that, you know, we could have had this, you know, cute little house that makes a lot of sense at the moment, but if we don't make that purchase and we wait 2 years, maybe mom or dad is sick, or maybe we had another job opportunity that wouldn't have made sense to stay in that other location, and we get this amazing home and this new place, and everything kind of falls into place. So if we ask for wisdom and we ask, you know, God what he wants us to do with his money, as we keep saying it is his, then I think it's going to help us bring, you know, some clarity to things, some peace and some calm. And then if we can move in faith, I think that kind of brings back to that too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we have those
moments.
That is
so good. Moving in faith and have those moments. Yeah. I mean, I just, in this, you saying all this, I just had a revelation about something my husband and I went through a few years ago. I was ready to buy a house 5 years ago. We had to try to sell our older home a couple of times, but then I was really ready. And he said, we don't need to buy a house until we make sure our relationship is solid. Now we're at 25 years now. So that was about 20. We were at 20 years in. But I just realized, hearing you say all this, Vanessa, that was him listening to God, or God was speaking to him, whatever way it was. Yeah. It was God telling us as a couple to be still, work on yourselves, work on each other. And then when it's time, I will give you what you need. Mm-hmm. I will give you the desires of your heart once you make sure your relationship is solid. Right. And we did the work, you know, personally and together. And then we were able to move into this beautiful home years later, get more equity. It just was perfect timing, but it was all God's timing.
Right.
So this whole time I've been telling people the story a little different. I've been saying, my husband said, we can't do this, and then we do that. But no, it was, my husband was like, no. The Spirit was moving him to say, yes, let's work on each other as a relationship, as a union. Mm-hmm. Then we can talk about getting another house. So I love how God moves, man. Yeah. And he's just amazing. And us having that faith that he's going to provide, man, it's real.
I know. And you are so right, because I had a story very similar to that. And I talk about it a lot when we teach those like home buying classes or big purchase classes, that kind of thing. Same thing. My ex and I were looking at buying our first home together. And there was a cute little condo in Atlanta that I loved, and it was totally within price range. And then there was one across the street, literally across the street, that was like two to three times the size. It had like a roof deck and like everything you could ever want in a home in the city. And he really wanted that, but it was, gosh, I think it was like $400,000 at the time.
Wow.
The one I wanted was $160,000, you know. And my whole thing was, what if something were to happen and we only had one income? That was my thing. And, you know, lo and behold, I mean, he is my ex now, but he got cancer.
Oh, yeah.
And we went down to one income. And I have thought so many times about that. And if we would not have listened, or, you know, me nagging obviously helped, I'm sure. But, you know, if we didn't have that sense of being able to listen and take a step back, we would have found ourselves in a world of hurt. when yes. it came down to it, because I could not even afford that payment just on one salary. So wow. being able to listen and taking a step back, these things matter. And having the wisdom to do that is priceless, priceless, priceless. So in Matthew 7:11, it says that if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask of him? So wow. even people who are, you know, we see as a little less than, or people that just don't have the spirit within them, if they're going to do good things for their kids, just think about God and what he's going to give to us. You know, when he is just full of goodness and light.
Oh my God. That's beautiful. I mean, those that are evil, but I would say even those that have the spirit and that are good, and but we're all sinners, right? Right. We're taking care of our children. Man, God, that part, God, that just God. That's all I got to say. God, yeah. like our Father in heaven, what he's going to do for you. If you just sit back and be still in the Lord and know that he is God. Hello. Ooh, God has, he provides. He just, man, he wants us to stay focused too and handle our money responsibly. He wants us to be good stewards. I mean, there's no doubt about that. He wants us to give back. Whether, and we've talked about tithing and giving and just charity and all of that, but he wants us to be responsible with our money that he gives right. us, that we are just managers. That's all exactly. we are.
Exactly. Well, and good parents teach their children and don't do it for them. Because when exactly. you teach no someone, enabling. Exactly. When you teach someone, then even one day when you're not there, they're going to have the tools to handle it with grace.
That is what my husband always says to our daughter. Like, I need you to understand. He sat her down even recently at 23 and says, I need you to be able to take care of yourself if mom and dad die yes. tomorrow. If me and Nate were to leave this earth tomorrow, we want to make sure that our daughter knows how to take care of house and home and money and herself. And so, and that's why we made her start paying rent recently. Like, because we need her to know that you have responsibilities in this world as a human being, as an individual, right. and you got to be able to take care of yourself. And there's so many kids, Nate and I, my husband and I talk about this often, these young generation that are sitting at home and thinking their parents are going to take care of them till they're 30 or 40. And you know, sometimes that's unfortunately has to be because the kid has a disability or whatever the situation may be. But there's a lot of kids out here that are just leeching off of their parents.
I know.
But their parents are allowing them to do
they
that.
Are.
So being responsible with their money and teaching them to be focused and being responsible and being honest with how you're dealing with your money, you right. know, whether it's debt or taxes or just you need to be making an honest living out here. You know, there's some people out here that ain't living that great life, but it always catches up with you. I've seen Narcos and all the other ones out there. And Power yeah. and BMF and all these shows out here with these gangsters and drugs and sex and money. And then that stuff always catch up with you people.
It does.
I'm just putting it that little really... red alert out there. Alert, you living your best life, but you're not doing it right. Yeah. It's going to catch up with you.
Right.
So, you know, and that's the same with even like debt taxes. Mm-hmm. Like you out here not paying your taxes and then you're like, oh, I got a tax bill. Mm-hmm. What were you thinking? You... Anyway, yeah. so being honest with dealing with your money is important.
It's so, so important, you know, and we see this over and over again when people don't make the right decisions and they know that they're not doing the right thing. I think that's the other
they
part
know.
Of it. They know when they're kind of skirting the system. You know, my brother worked as like a 1099-er for years. And I remember the first year he made really good money. He saved absolutely nothing from what he made.
Oh, he
for
didn't
taxes.
Do quarterly taxes. Oh,
and
man.
That boy owed about $40,000 in taxes because Dang. He made very good money that year. And I remember my parents having to loan him money to pay his taxes his first year.
Okay.
You know, and I understand my parents were in a position where they could do that. And that was, you know,
most people ain't.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. but you know, you need to learn from that and say, okay, yeah. I made this mistake. I'm never going to do that again. And, you know, make sure you're taking the steps forward and make sure that the parents or whoever it is that's loaning those things that you help that person understand the implications later on too.
Exactly. And, you know, on the flip side of that is giving back. Giving, we've talked about this in past episodes, being a cheerful giver. That is key to all of this as well. Like just giving back. God loves a cheerful giver. He blesses those who gives back to others. Because, I mean, sometimes, some of us are getting more than we need.
True.
And so, but you should give back your first fruits. I believe in that. I'm not about the talk about the 10% or whatever. Yeah. You figure that out with God and what's in your heart. The thing is giving back time, money, and just being able to help people, whether it's you're outside of your circle or inside your circle. Giving back is really you moving in faith, and you're saying, Lord, I'm helping your people to bring them closer to you, Lord, but also so I know that you're going to bless me. Right. And you shouldn't do it because you're seeking a blessing, but just know God's going to bless you if you're moving in faith and you're giving back. So that's very important.
And when you're giving back like that too, I think a lot of times it puts things in perspective and it helps us see how blessed we really are. Because we see what other people are doing with little in certain areas. Yes. And we see, okay, yes, so they have less than me, but look how happy that person is. Or look how they're blessed in another way. So when we can give back and we see these things and we see how others behave when they have less than us, to me, it is an eye-opening experience that everyone needs to be a part of. Because it really helps us see that we are part of something bigger.
Yeah, there's so many people out there, whether they're a minimalist or not, that are doing so much with so little. And it's so, to me, it's impressive. Like, man. And that's why I even feel okay, like, being able to cut back my own personal salary to help the business more so I can help more people is like, you know, I'm okay with that because I don't need all this stuff.
Right.
And we already kind of talked about this, but I don't want to be serving money. It becomes an idol. Mm-hmm. Like, and it ain't about that life no more. I lived that life in my 20s and earlier. Like, and it wasn't healthy and it didn't make me happy. And when I look back, so it just really takes you away from God. I'd rather serve God first. And like, I'm in the season of obedience, y'all. I just want to be obedient. I want God to tell me what to do and I'm going to do it. Cause I ain't trying to be like, oh my God, like I had to learn this lesson again. No, God told me I'm going to listen. We're going to keep it moving. Cause he blesses us from that obedience. But obedience is more important than the sacrifice. Says it in a word.
Right, right. And you know, when you're serving money, and I think the longer you're doing that, the further you get from God. And it's harder to get back to where you need to be when you keep taking the steps away. And sometimes it gets to where that person can't even see that God's in the picture or still there in the distance because they are so far because they've been serving money this whole time. And, you know, things that would have originally been a no or a negative thing all of a sudden become just common, you know, second nature. So they don't even see what bad things are happening or, you know, negatives that are happening in their lives because it's just part of it because they're serving God or they're serving money instead of God. So it really takes them away from that. And you can't even see clearly anymore because everything just becomes okay because it's been okay for so long. So that really makes it hard, I think, too, to kind of get back to that place. But, you know, when we're going through all this, too, we need to make sure that we're thankful and we praise God, too, for his blessings. And we say thank you. It is a wonderful thing to be able to say thank you.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. That gratitude is important. Exactly. That's a key piece, I think. And, you know, reading the word, praising God, praying, but the gratitude wraps it all up. It's that nice little envelope circle around all of that and just like, thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing for me and my family. Praying that gratitude, showing that gratitude, constantly thanking people. I mean, even going to the workplace, I find it so important to say thank you is similar to that. Right. How many of us just want to thank you from somebody at work, right?
Exactly.
God just wants to thank you. He just wants us to be grateful because he's always provided. If I look over my last 45 years on this earth, I'm like, oh my God, I've always, even if bad times, dark times, trauma times, God has brought me out. He's always been there.
Yeah.
And even when I try to silence him or falling away because I was idolizing my husband, idolizing whatever, my daughter, whatever, money, job, career, success, there was always a spirit in me And even though, but once I learned to be silent and still and listen to it, I'm like, oh my God, you've all, thank you God for always being there, number right. one. But now it's so big, mm-hmm. the spirit is so bright, and it just makes you feel a whole nother way, man. And it's so good. Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously, let's get addicted to God.
And gratitude.
Leave the sugar and the sex and all of that aside. I mean, we need all that. We don't need sugar, but sex is important. But you know what
delicious.
I mean?
But you,
Vanessa said it, not me.
Yeah, it's delicious. Yeah, sugar is wonderful. But, you know, gratitude is gratefulness too. And then we have to be able to be content and satisfied with where we are and what we have. And I think most of us don't do that. We always want more. We always want bigger, better, faster, sweeter when it comes to sugar. But, you know, we want more. We want more, more, more. And we forget to just enjoy the moment and enjoy where we are. Because when you take a second just to sit there in it, and it's like, you know, things aren't that bad. Like, there's some good stuff going on. There's some really good stuff going on where I'm at. And if you can focus on that, I mean, gosh, that's priceless.
You know, content is something I've struggled with all my life. And thank God I got Vanessa Minnelli on the team, because she has to bring me to reality and say, okay, it's good, Shay. We're good. Like, because I'll be like, oh, we ain't da-da-da-da-da-da. And she's like, all right, we're good. And it's like, man, but the content piece is good. Like, I'm all about gratitude, but I'm still a work in progress when it comes to content. I'm being satisfied because I'm always striving and striving. It's like, when do you take a step back and just be like,
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
All right.
Because it's okay.
You know, I'm always up. I'm always up. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like,
but it's okay. So, and hard. It doesn't mean that you're lazy or you lack ambition. And I think that's what people kind of equate that to, being content. Mm-hmm. But it's just, it's being happy in the moment and joyful in the moment and knowing that, you know, you are blessed and you do have usually plenty with things, mm-hmm. and just being able to say, I'm good. Like, I am good. There is nothing out there that I need to chase other than God.
Yeah.
You know, and just really enjoy that. And just, I mean, there's such a weight lifted off your shoulders when you can be mm-hmm. content and you're not having to impress anybody or not having to go after, you know, these things that the world says you need. There is so much joy in that. So if we can just sit with that, I think we'd all be a whole lot better off in this world, you know?
But, you know, it's so true. Like, certain parts of my life, like the business, I'm definitely got to work in progress with the content piece. But there is like content, like when I remember living paycheck to paycheck and now I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it's just a different kind of content to know. Like, and so now I'm praising God when I'm going through my spend plan and I'm able to pay the bills. Like, man, because I remember a time that I was like, I had to move money here, do this money here, sacrifice this here, and call this bank or whatever and be like, I'll pay you. Can I pay you? You know, right. I've been there. And so, like, there's definitely content and gratefulness in there as well. But content, like, oh, God, mm-hmm. like, I'm just content and happy that I'm not there, you know? And even in Hebrews 13:5, it says, don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. So even applying that to, all right, Lord, even the times I was living paycheck to paycheck, I was satisfied mm-hmm. because of what you gave me, exactly. what you provided, because I knew you were never going to fail me.
Exactly.
And so you were never going to abandon me. Oh, man. How beautiful is that?
It's gorgeous. And if we can really sit with that too and think about these things, and I mean, you're right. There are times in our lives where we have more and there are times when we have less. But if you can be satisfied, you know that if those times come back when you have less, you are going to be okay and you're going to be content and you're going to have enough. You're going to have enough.
Yeah. Because you've gone through it before. Exactly. You're going to be able to get through it again.
Exactly.
So any final thoughts? Wow, that was a great episode.
Yeah. You know, I just say when we think about our money and we think about how we're handling things, have those conversations with God. Have conversations with God and your partner as well, if you have one. And, you know, make it to where it's a team decision, the three of you guys, or, you know, the family decision. But put God in the center, just like we should with everything. Make sure God is a part of all this.
Faith is real. Believe in him and he's going to provide. Never abandon you and never fail you. So that is a great way to end an episode. And I'll just add, don't forget, it's always better Yahweh's way. Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you for listening to this episode. We hope you enjoyed our deep dive into the crossroads of religion and money. Also, we would love to hear your feedback on today's episode. So please leave us a review or just tell us what's on your mind. And remember to follow our podcast. If you have any questions or suggestions of topics for us to discuss, please email us at Yahweh@crusaders4change.org. To hear all of Yahweh's Money latest episodes, please visit us at www.crusaders4change.org or wherever podcasts are found. God bless.